For me, not really. I signed up. Sorry, A, be quiet, please. I signed up for Screambox. I dedicated myself. I said, I'm paying for a year. Fuck it. We're doing it live. And I'm actually really excited about a bunch of stuff that I've seen on there because Shudder, I love Shudder. Shudder has gowns, beautiful gowns. But sometimes I feel like that's all they have. Very pretty stuff to look at, like very Criterion selection. And I miss my cheese. I miss my stupid shit. And so Screambox was like, hey, bitch, I got all that shit you need right here. And so I've just been browsing the titles, adding to my list of things I want to watch, and I'm excited to get into them.
Nice, nice. Aid.
Any new? I
Any
don't think so.
events that you're into?
Thank you for your contribution, Aid.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. I was looking for a new picture to put in my background.
Oh my God.
But it's fine. No, I haven't really seen anything particularly new. I started watching, actually, that's not true. I started watching The Imitation, starring
The vampire
Miss
one or the older one?
the vampire one
Okay.
with Miss Inday, and I shouldn't really know her real name. She's so beautiful. From
Missandra?
Miss Inday from
Missandei?
it's
Game of
not
Thrones?
Mel it's not Melisandre, it's Miss Inday from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Remember she got her head chopped off. Oh, spoiler
Right.
alert.
Just
Anyway,
in because a bunch of people get their head chopped off in Game of Thrones. Which one
well,
is
that's
she?
true. She's the one. She was Daenerys's like right
Okay.
hand
Then
woman,
I know. Yeah.
and she screwed the Grey Worm, which I thought he was castrated. So I don't know how that worked, but I
He
think
has other things he can stick up in there. It's fine because they are castrated.
they are ca yeah. But is castrated mean they take the whole thing off, or is it just the balls?
Castrated is usually the balls. Eunuch is
And
usually all of it.
oh, okay. So I guess so. It does it still work without your balls?
We have to ask George R. R. Martin. It will. It does.
I don't want to Google that. I do not want that in my
I
Google
love how she
search.
asked both of us, and we're like, well, weirdly, we
Yeah.
still have our balls.
Yeah. Lance, last time you lost yours.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so
I
here's what I'm going
don't
to say.
have a penis. I have to ask
I
you.
believe you can get an erection because it's
Okay.
all because of blood flow. Testosterone determines the sex drive, which is where your balls come in. Also, this is disgusting. I'm sorry, I know, but dogs that are neutered will still get red rockets, which is why I'm saying you pr can probably get an erection if you don't have balls.
Oh, that's right. They do. You're right. Because my old dog, bless his heart, he died, but he had a big old boner. Oh my God, it was a
Oh, I
boxer.
didn't mean
And
that kind of dog. I meant like a
what?
DAWG. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, Chalky, the correlation for dogs and men.
Yep.
Again.
But anyways, so I was what? So back to the new thing. So this one came out in 2022, and actually, I really liked. I didn't finish it. I started watching it, and then I got distracted. I think I was doing something. I don't know what I got distracted by. But anyways, it's on Netflix if you guys want to watch it. I started watching. It's actually really good, and that guy is beautiful. The guy who plays the vampire, and I was like, oh my goodness, who is this? Now I have to know.
I would have no idea. I'm like,
Oh. Well, she's beautiful too. Oh, Natalie Emmanuel, and he is Thomas Doherty. I'm just saying,
I
Mikey.
don't think
Like,
I know
oh, he's
him.
28 years old. Look at that.
Any relation to Shannon Doherty?
Oh, that's a good question because it isn't. It's even spelled the same.
I
Let's
read.
see.
I saw
I
that.
don't
Very athletic
know.
of you.
Thank you. I had to take my
Now,
pot off the stove.
siblings are Rachel Doherty. I don't know. That's interesting. Let's look up Shannon Doherty really quick
Is it
for
spelled the
shits
same?
and yeah, their
Go
last names
her
are spelled
tie. You never
Doherty.
know. I mean, just because it.
She's 52. My goodness.
Yeah,
Who
well,
is?
if Rose McGowan's 50 and Shannen Doherty.
Who did we just find out was in their 60? Oh, Jennifer Tilly is 65.
Oh, but she's
Yeah.
amazing.
I love her. Oh my God, I want to be her. She's
She
amazing.
still looks good right now. Good Lord.
Yeah. I love her and the new Chucky show. It's so good. Okay, she's got to be related to the whatever, it doesn't matter.
Can I just make a
Anyways.
disclaimer? There's so many women to shout out for Women's Month. Sorry we missed them.
Actually, right before you got on, Mikey, Lance, who was I talking about? Because now I can't remember, but I'm like pissed that I didn't think about her. Oh, Pollyanna McIntosh. We should have done the woman.
We've, but yeah, no, definitely she's done a lot, but we shouted her out couple of weeks ago for something. I forgot what it was. We talked about her for a
little bit. Oh, if you guys want to do it, we could always, you know, next month, or no, not next month, but the next episode.
Or we could do like a Lucky McKee month and do his movies because she's in so many of them. And we could do May and The Woman.
You know, it's a sin who we haven't done is Pam Grier.
Oh, yeah. You know, and Doug loves her. I'm surprised we haven't done her yet.
Everyone loves Pam Grier. She's another one that's up in age, but is still beautiful.
Oh, I love her to death. Actually, we talked a lot about Pam Grier when we interviewed Darren Stein and did Jawbreaker because she's the cop in Jawbreaker.
The detective.
Yeah, the detective.
Oh, yeah. Love her. Hey, and we come back full circle to Rose McGowan.
And Rose McGowan, and once again, I know.
Yeah. I think she's great in, Escape from L.A.?
Yeah,
she's in there with she has like the deep man voice.
The one that I haven't seen, which is funny because the first time I got introduced to Pam Grier was in a movie that she wasn't even in, but Urban Legends, when what's her name, really sweet lady with the high-pitched voice, she's from Houston,
The blonde hair small girl,
no the detective, oh my goodness, Regina. Oh, what is her name,
what movie Urban is it again? Legend.
Urban Legends, the detective, the really funny one who watches the Pam Grier movies throughout the whole thing. She's like, that's my sister, baby, and she a whole lot of woman. Loretta Devine, who is one of the original cast of Dreamgirls on Broadway, I believe. So she's an amazing singer. But Loretta Devine, all in Urban Legends, she watches Coffee and a bunch of other Pam Grier movies. And so she's always quoting her. And so that's, and she lives at the end. So shout out to Loretta Devine and Urban Legends for Women's Month and Pam Grier. I still need to see the one Pam Grier movie I always see. I'm like, man, I need to see that. I just never really have time. It's like a 70s one about zombies. But if you look at the cover, it doesn't look like it's about zombies. What is it? Doug knows what it is because I mentioned it. And he was like, oh, that one.
Oh, yeah, Doug, we talked about it. I know. It's like we mentioned these things, but we never really dive into them too much. So let us know if you're listening, listeners. aidslasherspod@gmail.com, or just message one of us. Any one of us that you like, you can slide into the DMs and let us know if you're interested in us covering, you know, a few more women throughout the year, like Pam Grier, for example. Mm-hmm. Or Pollyanna McIntosh, or any
she's
of those.
In Ghost of Mars. I forgot about that. Ooh, she's in the new Pet Cemetery Bloodlines.
Oh yeah,
Shit. Pam Grier.
Pam Grier, yeah.
Nice.
She's doing a lot of work now.
She's in Bones. She
at age wise,
I'm guessing probably in her 70s, but let me check.
I feel like it's gotta be right at least, or
well, she's older than Lance.
This is Slashers, your favorite horror podcast and your favorite horror media. I'm your host, Lance, and as always, I am joined by my extremely amazing colleagues and cohorts, Aid and Mikey. Say hi, folks.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, y'all. Hi. How's it going? Sorry, I can't talk. I don't know. I was thrown off.
We got the country in. Hi, y'all.
Hey, y'all. Yeah, no, I don't know. Lance and his movie phone voice always throws me off. So I'm like, oh, crap. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. My pH balance. That's what it throws off.
All right. So we are here back to start our third installment of the Women's March, month of March, Women's Month of March. I guess it would be. Do we come up with a different name? I always forget. You guys
kind of. We did, but it's kind of offensive. So if you want to say Women's Hysteria,
I do not want to say offensive stuff.
March of Hysteria.
Hysteria.
But today's episode is going to be Jennifer's Body. I don't know. Right off the bat, kind of deal. I had a question. Do you find this? Because I kind of realized that it didn't do as well. Like when it came out, I guess. Like you know, like. Audience wise and whatever, but it's kind of become kind of a cult film. Do you feel like that's kind of like where, again, another movie that we've kind of watched before, that's kind of the popularity comes slower as it goes on, like, you know, as it gets older?
Yeah, kind of like Grindhouse. But so I saw it when it came out in theaters, and I have just like a lot of emotional connection with this movie because of just, I'll get into it later, so my viewpoint of it might be a little obscure, but I know that they've recently discussed it all with Megan Fox, Diablo Cody, and people that were involved in the movie. And I agree that it was advertised as something that it is not. It was advertised as, hey, here's Megan Fox being sexy. I hate the cover of this movie with her on the desk and it says hell yes in the back.
On the chalkboard.
That has nothing to do with the movie, in my opinion. I think this movie is much deeper and emotional and about friendships and about like girls in general. And they really wanted to just bring a bunch of men in and be like, here's Megan Fox and it's called Jennifer's Body. And so that kind of fucked them over, because I do think men will enjoy this movie, but it was ultimately made for women and horror fans that are, you know.
Yeah. Women. I mean, it's definitely one of the first times you'll ever see a whole plotted movie basically where a woman killer is literally trying to murder men throughout the movie. I mean, even though later on there's a comment where she does say she goes by, but at the same time. But what did you think, Gabe? Did you think it's kind of a movie that kind of got better as the time went on, cult following wise?
Well, I don't think this is the first time we see a woman murdering men throughout the film. However, I do realize that this has become a huge cult following because a lot of women, especially over the years, have realized that this is actually a very feminist horror, as well as, you know, it is a horror comedy and it is a huge product of its time. Like, it is basically, it's at the tail end of the early 2000s, so we're in 2009. And you have to remember, like, if you remember that how offensive the early 2000s were, right? And how we spoke to each other. I mean, there are a couple of F-bombs dropped in the movie. There's one.
Thanks, Chris Pratt.
And of course, it was Chris Pratt. Exactly. Why am I not surprised? And
I
love
it. I say that all the time. Lego my f-go.
Yeah, and so I feel like the movie is not homophobic, but it presents the rampant homophobia and the that was present in the early 2000s, and because especially if you remember, like in Hostel is a really huge product of this. Men were straight, quote straight men, because I don't know, I'm sure a lot of these men are gay now, but. Well, straight men were very like, you know, oh my God, get away from me, and dropping the F-bomb here and there and using that as a derogatory manner to any man that they saw was not very manly in their eyes, right? And so they may not have been gay, but you would automatically call somebody that. And so really think that it is a feminist anthem. I love the dialogue. I love that both women in the film are strong in their own ways.
Yeah.
And I think that it was a perfect picture of its time, like especially with the music. Oh my god,
that's what I was gonna say. That was like my next question, really, because like I know Mikey, you're like if it doesn't have a good soundtrack, you pretty much you're kind of like dead in the water with it most of the times. And there's even a song on there that was actually a Screeching Weasel song, which is I forgot that was even in there. And like it's a cover song, but it's by a punk band, which is actually a band that's technically canceled now because he actually punched a girl at a show.
What would she do?
Well, she was saying something.
I mean, it's weapons.
he said it. I didn't, folks. So like, he's got the card, I guess, and he'll be able to say that and get out of it. but like, legitimately, like, it was one of those weird things where you're like, oh man, it's such a weird thing because this movie is such a cool, like you said, feminist movie. But then to have a soundtrack. And then have that band on there, you know, where most people would be like, why is that on here? But other than that, a lot of the music is really amazingly awesome and very mixed, like with genres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool. You had the Black Kids, which is one of my favorite. I saw them live with the Ting Tings before I saw this movie. I was really into them. And then, you know, they play, was it Hurricane Jane, maybe? They play one of their songs while they're introducing Jennifer and she's twirling the flag. I was like, cool, I love them. And then it's very strange to think that this movie came out after I graduated, because this movie, like, there is so much that is creepy that I'm like, this was high school. Yeah. Down to, I had two friends. One, they, and I need to show y'all pictures of them. They look just like Needy and Jennifer. I mean, actual teenage versions, not, you know, early 20 starlets playing them. And they had the exact same personalities, which I think is why I have a major issue with this movie that I'll explain later. Because if Jennifer and Needy had not a best friend, but just like a good friend on the side that was a gay guy. That was me and my two friends in high school. And it's down to Needy's boyfriend being in a band named Chip for the sake of not keeping things anonymous. My friend who would be Needy had a boyfriend in a band named Kip. And
Kip.
it's so crazy.
That's
And
hilarious.
sometimes I was a little bit Jennifer, sometimes I was a little bit Needy. Today, when I was watching it, I realized I was like, man, this came out after I graduated, but yet so much of this is exactly how it was in high school, at least here in South in Central Texas. But yeah.
Yeah, there was, the very clicky kids. Yeah, because I graduated at 06, so this came out 3 years later. But it was clearly like that time in high school was just so one way. Like I can't, I mean, maybe the kids nowadays think the same thing. I don't know, but I can't imagine like any other time that was more iconic in the 2000s than the early 2000s, because the outfits, the music, everybody listened to everything. Like it wasn't like there was just like one genre for one person, and just the clothes, the outfit. Oh my God,
The
the
hip
ugly ass.
huggers.
The oh yeah, the those jeans. I had every pair of those jeans. Like I mean, let's just. I was totally. I mean, maybe I wasn't as hot as her, but I was definitely Jennifer. But Needy, like that purple, that ugly fucking purple top she wore at
Oh
the
my
beginning of
God.
the
This
show.
is my rock look. I was like, that's me before going to see Lance's band in Florida.
yeah, you can wear it at Will's Pub. But yeah, no, like literally, I had that top, and I'm like, ah, I wouldn't have worn the shirt underneath it, but that's just me.
We kind of find ourselves in a kind of small town. I think their biggest was it a, their biggest kind of like landmark, I guess would be, or maybe their tourist thing would be the waterfall that goes into a, I guess not like a sinkhole or like a, I don't know, but it's like they're in a little town called what is it, Devil's Kettle.
Devil's Kettle.
Yeah, but
Because they
the
were like
band keeps
Devil's,
calling
Devil's Lake.
Devil
It's
Lake.
Devil's Kettle. Fuck yeah, it is.
This is great because like you know what? I think this is another movie that Adam Brody sucked me into initially, just because I saw he was in it and I was kind of like, oh, that guy's funny. I like him. He's great. It's a horror movie. And I was like, Megan Fox. So I was like, all right, well, this is kind of work. Basically, you find yourself in a town. You see the two best friends. You see that there's a dynamic between them. One's kind of like the popular girl. The other girl isn't, I wouldn't say nerdy, but I also wouldn't say she's the most popular person. She's just kind of under the radar kind of vibe, I guess, you know. I mean, would you guys think that was kind of the vibe?
Yeah,
Well,
and another
she.
cool thing is that kind of because there was a lot of cliques in the movie, but the reality of the movie is that Needy and Jennifer weren't really in any clique. They had
Yeah, they're
like
kind
a
of their
couple
own
other clique.
entities.
Yeah, and that was pretty much like me also. Like I
Nice.
didn't hang out with a specific group of people.
Or you could like
Yeah.
mix around everybody, you know what I mean? That kind of deal. Like, I mean, like I
Yeah.
was able to like kind of go to one group to another group because no one cared.
Yeah. I'm sure
Except
you
the gays,
were.
gross.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that like there's nothing like unattractive about Needy except for the fact that she subdues herself because of Jennifer, right? Like she doesn't, she can generally look as good, look so good because she can't upstage Jennifer, and she's happy to stay back and let Jennifer have the spotlight. And so, which is interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. Because what is that little Asian girl from Juno? And it's so funny because Diablo Cody wrote Juno too, right? But
Yeah.
she's talking so much shit. Like, I just want to see that girl get smacked in one of these movies because I wanted to smack her in Juno too.
But she was
And
Juno was first though, right? Juno was
did you know come
initially,
first?
that was her, that's her
Yeah.
big movie, right? That she came out to, and then it was Jennifer's Body afterwards, which I think
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
technically a
that's why
prequel.
Jennifer's Body got made, is because of Juno.
Yeah, which I
Oh,
think
true.
was
Oh, yeah,
technically a
2007.
not a success in eyes of like the bigger platform that she was unfortunately shoved into because of the success of Juno, which kind of sucks when you have a really good storyline anyways, and it's like, you know, you get pigeonholed, which is kind of a running joke for most people, artist-wise and directors, but maybe even more so for a female director and writer, you know, it's like kind of seems like you said, you guys were talking about it, where the meaning of Jennifer's Body, but then they sold it as a sex thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like as far as that goes, like that girl, what did she say to her? She called her She called Needy lesbo something.
Oh,
what did
you're
she
so
say to
lesba gay.
Yeah, lesba gay.
She just mixed up both words.
Diablo Cody's writing, there's a couple of things, reasons why I think this movie didn't initially become a big success. One is because Diablo Cody's writing is polarizing. I'm in the middle. There's some things that work that I still quote to this day with this movie that I think are hilarious and I love it. But sometimes it's like, okay, you stop there. You don't have to include something in every, but like the lesbian gay thing wasn't really that funny. And there's a couple of things where, you know, like when she pulls down Kyle Gallner's pants and she's like, nice hardware ace. It's like, okay, we didn't really need that either because it takes away from the serious moment. Her writing is polarizing, but also unfortunately, the Rose McGowan effect, Megan Fox is polarizing as well for no reason. No reason. I mean, she can be a little kooky in real life. You know, she's really big into astrology and like drawing charts and stuff, but that's not a reason not to like somebody. And I think like Rose McGowan, maybe it just comes from, unfortunately, really extremely attractive people get shit on for no reason. I can speak from experience. Hey, let me tell you about this. So when...
And that Women's Month. Oh my goodness.
It's Women's Month, not Hot Month. So I can go ahead and speak on this.
nice. So basically it looks like they're about to try to plan something out. It sounds like Jennifer wants to go out for a night. She sees this band she's liked. They're from the big city, they're from a small town. She's excited, you know, she kind of gets into it, and she convinces her friend Needy to go. As a good friend, she gives her the guilt trip, as most friends do when they want you to go somewhere and you're not really into it. Needy also has a boyfriend called Chip. So, which is ironically funny, and he's a pretty good character. Actually, that actor actually ends up playing young Neil in Scott Pilgrim.
I liked him a lot. He did a really good job.
Yeah, he definitely played a good role. And then it was they end up going to the bar, which they express that it's not really a venue; it's a bar that plays shows, which I thought was kind of funny. As somebody who plays in bars a lot, it's definitely just you're in your brain going, you want to make it like sound like it's a venue, but it's not. Like, I think that happens more often than not. Like, I mean, how many you guys have been to many shows, I'm sure, at a bar instead of a venue, you know, like that kind of scene.
Yeah, especially at this age when they're leaving for the bar. Even more parallel to my life, this is where I turn into a little bit of Jennifer. I treated my friend's boyfriend the way Jennifer treats Chip. Because I even called him Chip after this movie came out, and he hated it. And down to the line of, you're just jealous. You're lime green jello, and you can't even admit it to yourself. And he'd be like, what the fuck does that even mean? And then my friend and I, whenever we would go out, because this movie came out, was I in college? I think I was still in college. And we'd go out, and we'd be like, guess who has the Sebring till 8? It wouldn't have nothing to do. We had our own cars, and we were out till like 2 in the morning. But every time I'd pick her up, we'd always see it, sing it. And actually looking at her Facebook, because I was going to show you the picture of me and those two girls I was talking about, the last thing that we shared to each other was in February. I posted on her page, can we handle, and it's an article that says, Diablo Cody plans to bring Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried back for Jennifer's Body sequel, prequel, or musical. So
I saw that. I'm actually really excited because I think that would, I think it would really work now.
Yeah.
I don't want a musical, but I think.
No. Well, actually,
I think a sequel would be fun.
If we're staying with the same kind of music that we included in this movie, I think it'd be super cool because they have legit good music.
It would be kind of cool to see the in between, like what happens to the band, like what was going on with the band, like from that little span, because in that idea to catch anybody else up, it's basically we find ourselves with this band that's playing there. She's into the band. And then we kind of find out in the midst of it that this band's kind of looking for a virgin and they need somebody, and it seems like a very nefarious kind of like act that's about to happen, or it's just band guys being really weird and just looking for a virgin in a small town. And their interaction is very band like for me, which is kind of funny because, like, you know, the bass player is going like, I'm a person, you know, I have feelings. Yeah. And you're like, wow, you're like a Satanistic group of guys trying to murder somebody. But, you know,
guy-liner.
Yeah, all sorts of guyliner. 2009, folks. But like, you get past that point where like she's able to get a drink. You get a random cameo, technically, not really a cameo, I guess, just a small role for Chris Pratt back in the day when maybe he wasn't even doing his TV series.
Everwood. He was Everwood.
Was he in Everwood at that time?
Back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe just after Everwood, I think.
Yeah, which is, it's really cool. But I mean, it's pretty much the last time you see his character, even though you assume he leaves, because later on she says, I have the cops locked down because I'm dating one of the cops, but you never know. Yeah, because you never actually know if he actually makes it out of the bar alive.
Oh yeah. My God. And then when she mentions that she's not a backdoor virgin because of him, and that she couldn't go to some function and she had to sit on a thing of frozen peas, I'm like, oh my God. Like, why did I never notice this shit when I saw this back in 2009? Like, I don't know why I don't remember any of it. So.
Do you guys think the song had like trance kind of vibes? Because it kind of came off a little bit like she was zoned out, you know what I mean? Like, even when the fire was going on, she seemed like kind of mesmerized by the thing. Do you think that was because they didn't really make it, like, they didn't say it, but it kind of came off like they tranced her because that was the person they were trying to get?
It did kind of insinuate that there was some sort of like supernatural force at play, but also, you know, when you're this age and when you are going to these venues, seeing these bands, and it's a small group and you're right up front and you talk to them and they look at you and they're singing, there is a strange, I don't know, maybe it happens also when you're an adult, but here I am with responsibilities and I'm able to go have fun with myself. But that scene also made me a little emotional watching it these days, because I remember that feeling. I remember being with your friends and you're actually seeing live music and you're just like, oh, you know, you kind of like fall in love through the airwaves, as cheesy as that is. But also, when she's not noticing the fire around her, then it's like, okay, well, something else is going on.
Well, I didn't think about that until you actually said that. But now that you're saying that, I'm thinking it's the same kind of deal throughout the movie, because the townspeople are like, the townspeople. Do we even know? Like, we know it's in Devil's Kettle, but where is that? The townsfolk, they're like obsessed with the song, right?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite parts of the movie is when she's trying to get away from after she's had sex with the little skinny guy, and she gets in the car and turns on the car and the song's playing on the radio and she starts.
Oh, she's so pissed. No, that's great.
So yeah, so obviously it's not affecting her the same way. And you could see that if you, now that you said that, I could see that at the bar, especially during the fire, because not everybody noticed. Like, only a couple of people in the bar noticed the fire.
It was literally the bartender and her. And they were just staring at it. Like, you would think if you saw fire, regardless, that shouldn't be where it's supposed to be, you'd be like, fire.
Like, depends how hot that dick is on stage.
Yeah,
hotter
right?
Than the fire that's around me.
Well, I mean, the needy character. She was just like kind of like watching it like she was a pyro almost. You know, like that was like her glaze moment when she's like, ooh.
She was watching it all go down like it was a mousetrap game. Like,
oh my God, is that really hot? But like, what would you do? Like, is that really happening? Is that part of the show? Like, what's going on? I thought that the most unrealistic part, because like I'm right after this. I mean, obviously, you know, they get through the bar, everybody's trampling each other, very realistic. And instead of helping everybody, Needy's only interested in helping Jennifer get out.
Oh yeah.
And right after that, they get out, but nobody waits for the police. Like, Jennifer obviously takes off with those guys. I mean, I probably would drinking. Too.
Dude, okay, so the scene alone by itself kind of looked like the Thanksgiving scene, where everybody's like getting crampled and everything like that. But the fact that like the band gets outside and he's like still trying to get her in the van, why literally chaos is blowing up behind them.
He's still like, drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's having a good old time. And I was like, there was a part of me as a band person, I'm like, I'm a little offended by this.
Like, I mean, they're a satanic band, Lance.
Yeah, I was led to believe that they started it.
Like, well, yeah.
They're the reason that the fire happened, so they're not surprised,
It was the
right?
keyboardist, I'm pretty sure of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was the devil. Did you not pay attention? It was a part of the plan of taking over the world.
I don't know why did they have a keyboardist? That's hilarious. Anyways, why does any band have one? Like, okay. But, I'm sorry. I know.
Just attacking keyboardists out there.
I know.
Listen, I used to hook up with one back in the day. So, like,
that's why she's mad
about it.
Yeah.
that's
the real scenario. Right
he
there.
Couldn't find the G note, unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness. Whatever.
Double clef? What?
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
He can only find the A.
Shut up.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, but like, why did Needy wait for the police? Like, if somebody had taken off my friend, I would be running for like help, like
I mean, would if either one of
get
you
her
let
back.
her in that van, like regardless of the situation, like the fact that it's fire has happened and everything like that is blowing up and all these other things, it's kind of like one of those things where you're like, kind of like, how good of a friend are you if you're just gonna allow that to happen to your friend?
As an adult, no, I would not. As a hormone-driven teenager, being like, yeah,
True.
go get it, girl.
Yeah.
I may have. Especially if she talked to me the way that she talked to Needy. Like, you couldn't convince her otherwise. Do you
Yeah.
put yourself in danger also and go with her and have like a last house on the left situation going on? Or do you wait for the police and be like, my friends just went with these weird guys? Like, it's almost like, you, whenever you have to fight for someone's honor. Heard last episode, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Oh my God. Yeah.
True.
Anyway.
I mean, really, honestly.
Well, yeah, and that's the it's just interesting because I love that you mentioned that the age difference because I think that's what really shows how immature they really are, right? Like they're
Yeah.
not really understanding the gravity of the situation. And
Yeah.
also the fact that they just really it's and this is how kids are. Like they something terrible happens, but the next week they've moved on and they show this in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also
Yeah.
this is a band. This is almost like if a band that you're following online comes and you want to sleep with them and your friend cock blocks you, like it's different. I'm not, if you're a teenager listening to this is not advice. This is me explaining what the girls may have been thinking. If it's a band, I'm going to be like, I'm going to go with them in their tour bus. Sure. They play my songs.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who they are. But if it's like a random van of like college guys, no, I'm not going in that band. Well, I mean, depends what they look like. But I would have more reservations.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the stupidity of it all because, like, all right, yeah, people know who they are or whatever. But this is what
But I
killed me
mean,
when she's like, I found them on MySpace.
oh, I know.
oh, that is kind of funny. And the fact that there's so many Razer flip phones in this, I was like, wow, this is so 2009. Like, it's just like, it's weird how sometimes technology will make you go, oh, wow, this is a
Yeah.
while back. Like,
But that's what makes this movie so great too, because these kids are not on their phones
yeah.
like a bunch of idiots sitting around not talking to each other. Like they use the phone to call each other at the very, maybe text every now and again. And just the satisfaction when you hang up on somebody when you slam the phone shut, I'm never gonna have that again.
Yeah,
I'm
phones
sorry,
were
Micah,
cheap
go.
enough to throw across the room and shatter and not care. Be like, I'll get my upgrade from Sprint tomorrow. But
Nice.
one of the a key point or a note for acting that I love when this happens in movies, because I don't know if you realized it, but I do just because I'm always trying to figure out how these people do these really believable scenes acting wise so I could learn. But Amanda Seyfried, when she hears them talking about her best friend being a virgin, yada, 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 and she's like, I'm going to stand up for them. This has happened to me before and I fucking hate it. She goes up there and she's like, that's my best friend you're talking about. And you're right. She is a virgin, which beats sleeping with guys like you. And then she like stumbles over that last word. And almost kind of like makes your argument crumble, but it's because you're
Yeah.
standing up and you're like kind of intimidated, kind of scared, but also like you're doing a good job. And that last word, you just fuck it up and then you walk away. I don't know if that
Yeah.
was intentional. I don't know if that was on accident, but that's exactly what happens when you try to stand up for someone, but you're not 100% confident. And I love that.
And I also thought Megan Fox actually was really good at like somebody who has all this confidence usually, but when she was trying to talk to the Adam Brody character, like it was kind of cool that she was kind of like, yeah, like I'll get you. Like, but she was doing the rambling, like you see
Yeah.
a lot of like younger kids do, or like you all of us did at one point. But you're like, you're trying to
Oh, way
be
to call me out in court.
like, when you don't say that, it's like one of those things where like you're like, oh man. But I see what you're saying. Like, I mean, they especially for two people who are probably like in their 20s, like mid 20s, trying to act like they're 16 or something like that. I thought that was a really good, realistic kind of vibe to it. So yeah, I think absolutely. I mean maybe it's the writing, or maybe they just did really well with the nuances of how that is. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So basically, Jennifer ends up going with them. You don't know what's going on. Her friend's kind of worried about her. They do seem to have some kind of like connection, like kind of like a symbiotic kind of thing kind of going on between them, even
Oh, the
before
girls.
Yeah, like yeah. a very kind of thing, or at least they play it off like they already had some kind of connection regardless. Yeah. And later on in the movie, actually, at the end, there's a scene where you almost kind of understand it because of the fact that because they are best friends, or at least they had believed it so much so. There's a moment where later on, there's a when the necklace gets broken later on, mm-hmm. it's like that's when she actually dies, when their friendship actually dies, which is kind of like a weird, but it's symbiotic moment where it was like, it's crazy how high school works, where it just takes these things that end up, you know, making you break up like a boyfriend or whatever it is. But before that happens, she ends up coming back into the house, kind of a creepy moment. She doesn't know what happened to her friend. She's worried. I don't think she ever does actually call the police. Does she even ever call the police? It's just pretty much.
No, like, she's calls about her boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, no, she's about to call the police, but Jennifer comes behind her and shoves her against the wall and does some stuff to her face. Yeah.
And then throws up on her with that black goo, which you get. It almost looked like a symbiotic Venom moment, like Marvel. Yeah. Where it bubbles up. And you're thinking, oh, is that like the creature? Did it come out of her, or what's the scenario of that? Like, they didn't really like specify on that either, which I thought was. It was a cool scene, but then you're like kind of like, oh, it's nothing, I guess, or maybe okay, because later on she's cleaning it up. And did you guys like the fact that it played well on the she doesn't know if she's going crazy or not? Like, I felt like they could have played more into that.
Yeah, because they play on the trope that, you know, pretty much everyone thinks that she's making this up, right? I mean, and then we don't know if we can rely on her either, because at the beginning of the film, we see Needy in the nut house. For lack of a better term, and she kicks the shit out of an
mental
orderly.
Disability room.
Gracias, Raimundo.
Yeah, exactly. And so for that, I'm just like, you know, is Needy making this up? And honestly, I hadn't seen it in such a long time that I forgot. I thought that for some reason, I thought that Needy was imagining the whole thing, and she was actually Jennifer. I don't know why. Something in my mind made me think that. Like, she was just imagining that Jennifer was doing these things was actually her the whole time. And, that's not it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. But, I feel like I've seen this, like, since then. I have. So I don't know why I couldn't remember what the fuck was going on. But,
I mean, maybe that's the thing that she was, the director and the writer were trying to do legitimately. You know what I mean? Because there are moments where they seem to have it where she's questioning her sanity about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like constantly that's a running, I don't want to say gag, but like a running theme where it kind of comes off that way. And I don't know if it ever paid off, or maybe they cut scenes to where it doesn't pay off later on as much as it was supposed to, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like, especially to be a feminist movie, they were smart to steer away from the gaslighting, because girls don't need to gaslight each other. She tries one time, very small, where she's like, wow, Needy, you should really get those thoughts of yours checked out by somebody. And that's it. And I like that they didn't do the whole too much of is she crazy or is she not? Because, no offense, but that usually only comes in whenever men are involved.
No, that is true. And yeah, but her boyfriend obviously doesn't believe her, right? And so that makes sense.
Well, he didn't say believe her. He said he didn't believe the situation.
I do like the way he said that, or like at least what was written for him was like, I thought it was great, because it was like, he's like, it's not that I don't believe you, the situation sounds crazy to me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I do like that, because it kind of steps away from the normal bullshit that guys get tagged with. I mean, not that I'm saying it doesn't happen, obviously, quite a lot, and men are very horrible in that sense of that way sometimes. But like I do like the fact that she made an effort to where it doesn't seem like it's just like, hey, we're just trashing on men. It's more of like a humanity kind of thing, where it's like, not everybody's the same, because obviously she likes him for a reason. He's not the normal kind of guy. So I kind of like the fact that he said something kind of not so jock guy, like, you know what I mean? Or whatever pigeonhole most men get nailed with.
And also, we don't have, if you think about Kyle Gallner and Chip, I don't know the actor's name, he plays Chip, but these are both, I want to say they're the two forefront, even though Kyle Gallner isn't in most of it, but they're not the typical like bro jocks, but they're also like nice, good guys. And so, you know, you have like the jock that does die, but he's barely in it. And he's just more of like a source of food. And then the ones that are actually like the really bad guys are like the emo, like soft band boys. This is almost like Halloween Kills all over again.
Yeah. But let's not forget that J.K. Simmons is also in this movie.
Mm-hmm. He's so great. The hook hand. Like, I was like, I don't know where that plays into that. But like, but you know, I didn't think about it because he was also in Juno as the dad.
Oh,
he's in Juno. And then he's also, what is the other movie that we just watched that he was in?
Oh, Glorious. He was the
Glorious.
Voice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The voice, at least anyways.
Yeah.
So there we go. He's back again.
You mentioned a deleted scene. I don't know if you've seen any of him, but there's one that I really wish they kept because it really would have been a wake-up call to some of the kids in my generation. But there's a scene where they're at, I don't remember if it's the funeral of the jock or if it's Kyle. Have y'all seen the deleted scene with his mom at the funeral?
Oh, yeah. No, I was watching that one. The mom like basically just kind of goes, fuck you, I own pain. I was like,
because all the kids, all the emo people are like, oh, and she's like, your kids think you know the something, something of pain. She's like, I forgot what you said, but basically,
did you know
about what you said?
The little girl and the young girl in that, the goth girl in that, is actually Eve Harlow. Is Eve Harlow? She's done like a couple of movies and stuff like that. She was in the TV series The 100. She's done a lot of acting roles now, but she was like really young at the time. I think she's like 34 now or something like that. Okay. Last thing she just did was like
34 isn't young.
I said is young. I said 34.
Oh my goodness, Abe.
I know, this is the 30s, and she's all of a sudden she feels like she's like dying slowly.
I know. She's like the Red Queen in Game of Thrones, just going off in the snow, deteriorating.
I agree with you, Mikey, that it was marketed incorrectly. Like, I think if we marketed it more as a horror comedy, because I remember watching trailers, like it seemed like it was just going to be a horror movie. You don't really see much of the comedic aspect, I guess, in the trailers, but I'll have to rewatch those because I don't know. But I didn't think it was like, that's what kind of turned me off, was like that it was funny, because I didn't go in there expecting it to be funny.
Jennifer's Body, I love it. It kind of makes me a little nostalgic, but also there is like a sadness that comes with it, not from the movie, or maybe a little bit from the movie itself, but also like in high school, I don't know how y'all's experience was, but there was a lot of drugs around. When I went to this high school, it was fairly new. It was on the rich side of town. And so we were known for having the highest rate of STDs and for having the most money for drugs. Mm-hmm. So with that, a lot of people that I knew passed away in high school and shortly after. And even my mom one time was like, I have no idea like what is happening with your friends. She trusted me because I've said this before, I had really bad anxiety, so I never really did anything outside of like marijuana and drinking. But like, I remember she took me to a party one time and I showed up and there was people just on the floor with needles sticking out of their arms. Like, these were like hard drugs in my high school. And so watching this, I like to take movies for face value. I don't like to look too deep into the meanings, but it's almost as if you replace Jennifer's need for a body to eat with drugs, it's almost like a drug movie, and you know, it's killing other people. And so,
well, she definitely has that vibe where she looks like shit when she's she runs low. So I get what you're saying with that. Yeah, like it's just like she needs another hit. You know what I mean? It's like
And I think that brings me to my biggest issue of the movie, is this would probably be my favorite movie ever if she didn't kill Jennifer, because that's its biggest flaw, is that this is not her fault. She turns into a monster and kills people. Yeah, that's terrible. But also everything, why are we focusing on stopping her when you should be like, hey, bitch, I got you. Let's go find these goes with guyliner and kill them. Don't worry, I'll bleep it out.
In the kind of a spoiler moment here coming is in the end factor of this, that's what she ends up doing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
By herself.
Exactly. It's one of those things, but even Jennifer makes a comment where like in the beginning, she's like, I couldn't do it to you. Like I came in there. She like, when she first initially goes there, she could have just fucking murdered her and ate her. It got weird because it seemed like, it's like, oh, why do you always want the things I have? Are you not secure with yourself? And they kind of like do that kind of vibe to it. And it's like, it got weird because it's like, oh, like you guys were like team us, team one. And then all of a sudden you guys weren't team one anymore. And then, you know what I mean? And then you find these, like, you attack each other on the things you know. I mean, a lot of like friends do that sometimes, or people do that because they think it's okay because you do have that knowledge. You know, sometimes it sucks that a lot of people will use that against you in some point, you know, and it sucks because you're like, well, that's kind of a fucked up thing to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it happens, and you wonder where the switch was, because Jennifer didn't really do anything else. And the weird thing is, Needy actually talks her into the goth kid. I mean, not knowing that she's going to murder her. Him.
But see, like, so that's the thing, is you're going to be mad at me again, Lance. It's just like Devil in the Flesh all over again. I was watching this and I was like, Lance is going to get mad when I say this. It is a power play that I have done before to get people that you are not interested in because someone you're close to is interested in them, not because of what you want to do. I'm sure Aid's done it also. And she only starts getting, she only starts getting that way when Needy starts becoming independent.
That's true.
It's a power play. It's a pecking order thing.
Especially at that age. Especially at that age, because I think that this also plays into the fact that in the early 2000s, women were not on each other's side. Like, we were not how we are now. And I could be guilty of that as well. Like, we saw each other's competition, and that was how we were raised, right? Like, that's how you were raised. Like, you know, she's dressing slutty, so she's gonna, she gets what she deserves, you know, that sort of bullshit going on. And I think that that ending was so good, because even though Needy stabs her with the, or the, no, but the boyfriend stabbed her with the
I think she healed from that.
The javelin.
Whatever. No, she heals from it, but like, Jennifer doesn't do anything to her. She just pulls it out. She probably knows that she can't win at that point, or maybe she can, but she just looked at it. Oh, we're just fighting, so it's no big deal. I'm leaving. Like, I don't care that I just killed your boyfriend. Like, no big deal. Like, it's not like it did anything really that bad. Like, that's how Jennifer sees it, because they probably fight like this all the time. Yeah, they fight like this all the time. And that's how, you know, me and my friends were in high school. Like, we all constantly, like, we'd be best friends one day, and then we'd be screaming, having fucking matches, vowing never to see each other.
Oh my.
Like, no, like fight matches. Like, we were just like screaming matches. Yeah. And just like, whatever. Like, next week we pass a note in class, like, I'm sorry, let's go blah 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 here tonight, and we're like, okay, fine, and hug and just be over it, right? Like, that's literally how it was. And so you see that a lot in this, and so I think that's it's kind of an endearing part of the film, especially after that, when Needy goes after her, because like, Needy only goes after her because she killed her boyfriend, like, let's be honest. And does Needy really like her boyfriend? I don't know. I think that she has more of an attachment to Jennifer, and maybe not a lesbian or, you know, like a love attachment, but more of an infatuation. I need you, because they are codependent.
Out of curiosity, because I've always wondered about this, because of the lesbian comment in the beginning, and then they're friends. Because, like, in general, women on women's friendships are so close that, like, you know, a woman and a woman holding hands on a regular day basis doesn't throw anybody off. It's like, it is what it is. You don't actually have to be quote unquote gay to be holding each other's hands or next to each other or whatever. Yeah. And it's changed a lot now with men, which I love, because it sucks that men can't be that, you know, close to their other guy friends. But at the same time, in this time, 2009, women were able to get away with a lot more shit like that without any persecution to it, to some degree, or almost all degrees really. But the part where they threw in the kissing, and in the bed scene, like, after the gothic kid or whatever it was, and she saw her in the street, the car scene, and then she jumps on the car and rolls away. But she's in there, and then she's just making out with her. And I remember, like, there's this whole, like, scene, and you're thinking to yourself going, is this part of the storyline? Or is this, like, some stupid guy's moment, or some producer who goes, we need to have a kissing scene with the two girls? You know what I mean? Like, I've always questioned that part.
I'm not a woman, so I can't speak on a woman's perspective. But I have had a lot of friends that are girls that are very close, and I do know that there comes a point when a few of them have been so close that they're like, you're my ride or die, like, you're my life partner. Is it romantic? I don't think so. And they might try something for like a week, but then it just ends because, like, nope, that was not romantic. And I think scientifically, from what, because I listen to a lot of science podcasts and stuff like this, A woman's sexuality is never actually defined in her life. It's very fluid. Sure, you have women that are only into men. That's fine. You've had women that are only into women. But you'll find women that have been married to men their whole lives, and then their husband passes away. When they're older, they end up being with the woman for the remainder of their life. And it's just, that's just how their sexuality has been studied. men tend to have a defined sexuality pretty early on in life, which is why I'm not saying that, you know, guys can't be like affectionate with each other, but which is why you typically don't see much of, oh, you know, I'm drowning in pussy, all of a sudden let me go try a dick.
Right.
At least for a romantic partnership, you know, so sex is different than relationships. So I don't think it's unrealistic for them to do this. Again, teenagers, hormones being weird, and having like an extreme love for somebody, like
this is like their college moment.
Well, I've definitely like have been in a relationship where I feel so close to someone where I'm like, is this romantic or do I just feel like an extreme bond with this person? And right. You know, maybe that's kind of what led to it. I don't think it was anything perverse put in by a producer, because I know they've had many interviews of that scene with, you know, Diablo and Megan and Amanda, and they all love doing it. And they all seem pretty on board with it. So I don't know. It may have been thrown in just to kind of, you know, be a little bit of a sex appeal, but I don't think it's completely unrealistic for that to happen between friends. Like, remember when we were in California? I'm just kidding.
Hey, what about you?
Well, speaking as the woman here, I...
Where? Oh, sorry. I thought I just saw hair under your arms. I was confused.
No, you'd never see hair under my arms.
You missed a strip.
I didn't miss the most important one.
Oh.
The anal strip. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. This will not be the short, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for determining what the short's gonna be.
Yeah, I know. Are you asking it not to be? It literally came in. I feel like you should know Mikey by now.
Anyway, before I get rudely interrupted on Women's Month by men, ladies and gentlemen, I hope everybody out there is listening to my views.
We should just make her do these shows by herself.
You guys remember that Katy Perry song? And I was just looking it up to see. It actually came out in 2008. But girls have been doing that all the time. I mean, especially I remember, like, you know, we used to get into, back in the day, it was called the Roxy at 17, 18, because we knew people who worked the door and stuff, and we knew bartenders there. And, like, you know, sometimes they're down a guy and we'd be dancing, and then, you know, girls just start making out. Like, we'd just be making out. And, like, one, to get attention, because we knew that a guy saw us doing that, they would come buy us drinks. And two, just because we were there. Like, I know you. You're not some random person picking me up or whatever. I've not done that as an adult. Like, because I feel like back then I was still younger, but back then it was just normal. Like, everybody did it. Everybody did it. Like, I mean, all the girls did it. So
I made out with a girl once. It was gross.
I mean, well, you might have made out with a girl. I don't know. But, like, I don't think it's anything really sexual. I think it's just more of just you're having fun and then you just did it. Like, who cares? I didn't say that I was a big lesbo after that, and I started, you know, listening to
munching puss.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I'm not listening to Joni Mitchell and, you know, running around doing
I listen to Joni Mitchell. What's that mean?
Yeah, this is a big old lesbo, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, I think that was also a power play by Jennifer. Yes.
Because I think Needy did kind of like her a little more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's definitely, I think there's a love there. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I knew there was a love there, and it still kind of plays in the situation of what it is, because obviously it was brought up earlier, you know? But at the same time, it was kind of like, it's so one of those moments where you're like, oh, God, here it comes. I hate being in that moment. I mean, maybe I'm thinking that now because I'm older. We're like, you've seen it so many times, and this was like in the forefront when it, you know, when they were kind of more showing it, you know, like, what's that movie, Wild Things, you know, where it's
Cruel Intentions. Them.
Cruel Intentions.
You know what I mean? But you get a couple of those, and it's in that time frame of, you know, in the early 2000s. And you're at one point, you're thinking, oh, God, really? Come on. Like, you can't get through a part of this movie without that being the moment where, like
Lance does not want to see that gay shit, folks.
Clearly.
He doesn't care if you do it behind closed doors, but don't do it in front of them.
No.
Jennifer knows that her influence over Needy, like, Jennifer knows what power she has over her, and she knows how to get to her. So she uses
it was a guy things. Move. It was definitely a guy move.
Well, you would know. Thank you. I know.
It's a stupid guy. Like, when you're in trouble because she was getting yelled at her, and then she goes, no, baby, kiss me. I was like, oh, I've seen that before.
He's only seen it.
Yeah. Never done it, folks. Never.
You can't complain if your mouth is busy.
That's what I said.
Well, I don't want to interrupt, but I eventually want to get into what I think is the most disturbing part of the movie, and that is the desecration of Jennifer's body. When they actually show what happened to her, mm-hmm. on paper, it seems just like, oh, they killed her. But there's something so disturbing about it. It comes off almost like a rape, even though they don't rape her. It's very uncomfortable to watch. And Olivia was watching the movie with me, and I didn't want her to see that part, not because of the stabbing, because they don't really even show them stabbing her, but it is very like, what's the word?
It's triggering.
It's visceral. Disturbing.
Did you guys think the song they were singing, because it's an 80s song, and it's actually a disturbing like 80s song? Like it's like, give me,
it makes it more because they're having fun.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? But like when they're singing the song,
sadistic.
It's the comical attitude towards it, but maybe that's what obviously the director and the writer is kind of, I mean, it's supposed to be a comedy horror, you know, and the fact that they're singing, you know, the phone number song, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's not even, I don't even think that it was intentional to be funny, because that's what makes it even more disturbing, is that she's pleading for her life and she's crying. And while she's not being raped, Mikey, you're right, she is being penetrated in some way, right? And she's there against her will. And they're all like...
She's powerless. What? And they have the control. Yeah.
It's very much like... And she's even wearing like a white fluffy coat, like she's a lamb being thrown into the lion's den. It starts off when she says something and they're like, oh, you don't have to talk. And that's when like the tone shifts severely for that scene. And we're like watching this movie that's kind of lighthearted, even though people are dying, but they're kind of dying in like a horror comedy 90s kind of way. But then it's like, it's not a bad thing about the movie. It's just very, it's a hard scene to watch. I remember watching the theater and feeling very uncomfortable watching it. And, you know, people will say Megan Fox's acting is wooden, but like she sells the scene and she makes it uncomfortable to watch because she's just.
She's definitely playing the character though.
She's a little girl. She's a child. At that moment, you really see her not as a sex object. You see her as a victim, and as for lack of a better word, they are, you know, teenagers. She's a child, and she's being violated like this. And it's just, it is so sad. And then their callous attitudes toward it, because they want to be famous. They want to be the singer from Maroon 5.
Ironic. You really break that down with his horrible text messaging and cheating on his pregnant wife. We go from the characters being killed, eaten, all this stuff, to get back to the storyline. Town fire, everybody's worried. Jennifer starts eating people up. You find a dynamic between the two friends kind of slowly shifting, in the sense that obviously your friend's eating people and murdering people left and right. Break into that, they're going to the prom, even though it seems like all these murders, you figure somebody would have kicked in saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this, you know? And then like ends up being the situation where the boyfriend was supposed to stay home. Needy decides to break up with him to save him, which seems kind of counterproductive, even though she said she was going to go to the prom. So it's like, no, you can't go, but I can go, which seemed kind of ironic. Like, wouldn't you want your boyfriend right next to you if you didn't want anything bad happening to him? Mm-hmm. He ends up going anyways. She has a moment where the band actually plays the prom, because, you know, why not come back to the place where you murdered somebody and got all your fame? Because like, that seems like a smart choice to do. Poor Chip ends up dying there. He says he's going to go off to heaven, I assume, because he said, I'm off to a better place, which I was like, oh, okay, that's a random line as you're about to die. So her friend ends up saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to get her. I'm not going to let her kill anybody else. I think it is kind of funny that they didn't go the route like you guys were saying about saying, hey, why don't you guys go after the band? Because they're the reason this all started. You know, that would make way more sense, honestly. But she decides to kill Jennifer. So either in revenge for the boyfriend or not. But I think the spot where I was talking about earlier, which is the part where she rips off the BFF necklace, the happy necklace. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that's the moment where like either she looked like she lost her powers or something. Am I wrong with that? Like they make that scene a real dramatic scene, because you watch the necklace fall to the ground. It's like a caption of it. Like it made it seem like there was more to it than not.
it's Needy's representation of like, this is what I think of you, and this is what I think of what we have, and it's gone now. And Jennifer only has her. She can't talk to anybody else about this, right? She can't, whatever. And that's how she's always been. And now it's done.
Well, in the beginning, they have a hint that they do have some sort of supernatural connection whenever she gets to her house and she's like, Jennifer's here. And Chip's like, what? Yeah. And then you hear her walk in. So there is that thing. And for some strange reason, that actually does happen to some people. And I think when she breaks the necklace, it severs that bond. And so I think the whole time Jennifer's like, this is my best friend. We're fighting, but we're going to get over it. But when the bond is severed, that's permanent. And so I think that's why she's like, oh, we're done.
Oh, you know what? I just want to bring something back up just because it's slightly glossed over, which I thought was kind of messed up. The poor Indian kid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You think he gets crushed. He survives the whole ordeal. And when she starts going, does anybody know you're alive? Da-da-da-da-da. Here, walk this way with me. I was like, that is the worst person to murder.
I
get it. It's a demon, and like they don't give a shit, and like it wouldn't make a difference. I just felt super sad for that one person. Like, I don't
he
know
was
why.
Sad because like he was lost too, so he didn't know how to get home. Poor baby. Oh well.
Yeah.
He'll never get home now. Anyway.
But yeah. So to end this, basically she gets out, and she ends up getting revenge on the band. You see the band kind of enjoying their life because now they're Maroon 5-esque in the fame department. They're in a hotel, trashing it, doing all the things they should. I do think it's kind of funny that she murders them, and then like a group of their fans are running back there to see where they were, and they run into the dead bodies, and she just like kind of walks past them, like on the camera. Like, you know, they see her. Yeah. I thought that was kind of a cool ending where she just kind of like glimpses up, like, this is the last time you'll ever see me kind of vibe, which I thought was kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I dig the whole werewolf kind of, I got bit by a demon, now I have demon powers, but she doesn't seem like she needs to eat anybody to keep her powers, because obviously she's in a prison, you know what I mean? So she wouldn't have been able to get any kind of thing, like any kind of like re-up on power. So does that mean you get bit, you have more power that you don't have to keep always feeding? Like, I didn't understand that.
Well, she mentioned something about it. She got the powers without the side effects of needing to eat people or something like that. She says something like that.
Yeah, like she got bit, but like that's what happened. I was kind of like, I go, oh well, sucks to be Megan Fox's character, Jennifer. It's like, oh, but yeah, but that's pretty much how it ends. Both of you guys want to give up your last feelings about this movie?
Oh, I love it. It's a classic. I love watching it. I never get bored of it. I give it 4.5 stars. No, I'm gonna give it 4 stars because they kill Jennifer.
Yeah, like that's the only disappointing part, because I really feel like they could have used more of a girl power moment with that, but whatever. It is what it is. I mean, at least we got Adam Brody and his horrible performance as a front man. But I love Jennifer's body. Why the fuck did I put that shirt on for this recording? I'll never know, because I should have and I didn't.
Oh, you have a shirt?
Oh, yeah.
I have my little Jennifer's body crop top, but there's a lot of green in it, so I don't know if it would have fit at all anyways. But that's from Eye Candy. Shout out to Eye Candy, who makes the cutest little crop tops for horror fans, you know, especially like these amazing, you know, because we could have done Queen of the Damned. We could have talked about Aaliyah. Anyway. So I think that I'm happy with this one. I'm glad that you chose it. I'm glad we finally did it. So yay.
Yeah.
Hooray.
So before we end everything, as tradition, Aide, let us know how the year went during this 2009 year.
Oh my God. There were a lot of movies in that year. It was not a bad year, and I'll tell you why. And Mikey might agree with me here.
I love this part. This is my favorite part.
I lost it. So that month, September of 2009, also we had Jennifer's Body, but we had The Human Centipede, we had Wreck 2, Pandora, and we had Sorority Row, which I actually do like that one, and a Children of the Corn remake. And this is just that month, which I thought was interesting. And then the rest of the year, we have movies like The Loved Ones, which we've done on the show before, one of my favorites. Horror movies. Oh, here it is. Sorry, I lost my list. But we've got a lot of really crazy ones. We've got the remake for The Last House on the Left, speaking of which, Mikey. So the remake for that one came out that year. The Descent 2, the My Bloody Valentine remake came out. House of the Devil, which is another great one. We should have talked about that because we had some good ones. Drag Me to Hell, the Friday the 13th remake, Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie, The Collector, Splice. We should do Splice, actually, one time. That movie's fucked up. Orphan. So The Cabin Fever 2, Rancid. But Grace. But I think a lot of things that that kind of mimic Jennifer's body in a way, but are sort of like a little bit crazier, is The Loved One. So if you guys haven't listened to that episode, I think you should. And then finally, Offspring, starring our Pollyanna McIntosh, because remember, Offspring and Women, or The Woman, are both written by Jack Ketchum. Daybreakers, Dead Snow, The Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue documentary, which is a great documentary if you haven't seen it, on horror. And our favorite, Antichrist, where we get to see Willem Dafoe jack off blood. Yay.
Ooh, yay.
I know. Have fun.
Nice. And that is your year in horror in 2009. So basically, at the end of this, we're basically going to give you a little bit about our Patreon, which you guys should check out. If you guys want to become members, or if you know anybody that wants to become a member and likes our stuff, hit them up, tell them to come out, do all that. We do have a YouTube out there. If you want to check us out visually, you should go to YouTube Slashers Podcast. That'll be a fun little thing. It's a little bit shorter than the actual Spotify stuff. So if you want to listen to a longer version of us, or you don't want to listen to too much of us, you can go to there. We have you, put out very well in every little area. We do have a Redbubble, so if you want to get one of our new t-shirts that's coming out right now, that Mikey was so awesome to get for our design. Who was the designer of that again?
Cornodity on Instagram.
Nice. Yay. And then what is it? Redbubble?
Slasherspod.redbubble.com.
Yeah, Redbubble's okay. The only one that has Slasherspod first. So slasherspod.redbubble.com.
Okay, and cool.
Patreon is patreon.com/slasherspod.
Boop, boop. Nice. And then we'll see what else we got. We got our Instagram. We have the Goons one. We have the Slashers one as well for Instagram. So if you guys want to be a part of that grouping, hit us up. We do a lot of posts for all these shows and stuff like that. So if you don't want to have it be annoying notification, just check us out on there. We'll usually be on there annoying the crap out of you. We try to do our best. Mm-hmm. We also do have a TikTok actually now, or we're actually using it. Yeah. So we have that. We also are on Facebook. So whatever social media, if you're an old person, Facebook, if you're in between, Instagram. Oh, if you're newer, it's going to be TikTok. So enjoy those moments. You can also get a hold of us on our Instagram. And it's Horror and a Half Show for Mikey. It's a Pathological Aid on there as well. And then me, I'm going to be Zombie versus Hate. Hey, sometimes I remember shit, sometimes I don't.
No, it's really fun. I love it.
No, oh my God. Okay. Yes. Remember, this is what happens when Lance is allowed to host. But yes, it'd be pathologically ADE for me.
It's going to take some time.
It's going to take some time. I know. Yeah. Even when you write things down for him, isn't he adorable? Bless his heart.
Hey, I like to go rogue. That's how it is, folks.
Me know. But
that being said, goodbye, good die, and die.
Goodbye, don't die.
Goodbye.
There's that whale song. Good job, Lance.
Yeah.